Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way Monday. We have a wonderful word for you tonight, and I just want to remind everyone, if you have opened this message from an archive source, we're on a live teleconference line, which means people will be dialing in from all over the place. We're going to give them 3 to 5 minutes to get here before we begin our message. And anytime, you digital listeners, anytime you would like to join us live on our calls, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. Again, we're Freedom's Way Ministries, and we welcome you tonight. Our Monday night and Friday night is a teaching message at 8:30 p.m. during the weekdays, Monday through Friday. At 7:15, we have prayer and Bible reading on this very same number. Welcome. If you would like to say hello while we're waiting for others to get here, now's a good time to do that.
Hello.
And if you don't, hello.
This is Finn.
It's so good to have you here. I hope you had a nice holiday today.
Yeah, it was a quiet day at the house.
Hey, Miss Vicki.
Hi, Kyle. Welcome.
Oh, happy Labor Day.
Thank you. You too, Kyle. Anybody else want to say hello yet?
Hi,
say
Phil
hello.
Mickey.
Hi, Charles.
Hey, hi. Brother.
Hey.
Hey, hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Well, I'm blessed. How are you?
I guess I'm blessed too.
Yes, beauty. Took me a minute.
What's
took
that?
Me a minute. It took me a minute to determine that that was Judy.
Oh, okay. Well, Marcia sure don't sound like Marcia when I call her. Does she sound like her when you call her?
Yeah, she sounds like herself.
She doesn't to me.
Well,
I don't know. So, okay.
Well,
I'm going to be listening to you guys.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Anybody else want to say hello? Good to have you here on our Monday call. Praise the Lord forever. We had a wonderful day today with some friends. We kind of met, it's more than halfway for them, but we met at one of the springs today and had a cookout. It was really, really a very nice day. Good fellowship, very relaxing. We're going to give everybody another minute or no? No.
Hey, can you hear me? It's Marie.
Hi, Marie. Welcome. You got unmuted.
Yeah, but when you mute it, I don't know how to unmute it, but I'll try to do it tonight and see if I can figure it out.
Oh, okay.
There's got to be a way.
Yeah, there is, I'm sure. Is there anyone else that would like to say hello before I mute your call, your phone? I'm not going to mute your call. I'm going to mute your phone. You'll still be able to hear the call. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and do that, and we will get started tonight. You're going to be blessed. Just hang on and listen with both ears. Your inner ear and your outer ear. Your spiritual ear and your natural ear. Hallelujah.
Oh,
no. Anybody want to say hello that just came in? Okay. You're about to be muted.
What?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Welcome this evening, this Labor Day evening. I hope you had a fabulous day communing with your God. Thank you for being with us. This is Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. Our mission is to help you come into your true, full identity in Christ and enjoy all the benefits of kingdom living and of kingdom authority. And anything we can do to help you in that area, we are glad to do it. We feel these Monday and Friday calls are instrumental in helping our growth in the Lord and enjoying the walk of faith and power in the name of Jesus. So thank you again for being with us. I am going to pray us in. We're in a series about higher faith, greater power, and deeper peace, which is going to be the next book coming out of our ministry here. And we are previewing it through the line. So if you have any comments on that, we're open to hear your opinions or your comments or how it affects you, your testimonies. So I'm going to go ahead and get us started. I'm going to pray us in. You will be blessed. Be relaxed and enjoy. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that you have a good word for your people tonight. And it is your words, Lord. We thank you again for it. We worship you this evening with all our hearts. Thank you for being with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we turn aside any interlopers or any foul spirit that would attempt to divert, blunt, or distract your people, God, and keep them from getting anything that you have intended for them to get. And we say again, Holy Spirit, have your way with us tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as I mentioned.
As you mentioned.
I don't know where I am.
I think I knew what he was going to say. Amen.
Okay.
Yes, we are producing another book. It's called Higher Faith, Greater Power, and Deeper Peace. Tonight, it will be chapter 9, titled Gaining Higher Faith That Is Unshakable. Hallelujah. And before we begin, I just want to say, you know, a lot of people will, they'll observe someone going through a trial, a test, a tribulation, or whatever, a challenge in their lives. This is not a part of the book. This is just for you. This part's free. we'll hear about it. Someone will call us and say, oh, this happened to me or that happened to me, and it just tore my world apart or whatever they say. And we have this tendency to say things like, well, you know, if that had happened to me, I would have reacted this way or I would have reacted that way. But we do not know until we face that challenge what we would do in it. So I just encourage everyone to be cautious and compassionate with people, and don't judge how they react or respond in that, in whatever they're going through. So let's get to the chapter.
Amen.
Now that we know and understand our assignment, it's time to look at ways to accomplish higher faith. A little aside here, we are following chapter 8, which was the assignment of higher faith. If you missed that, then you can let me know after the line, and I will send that chapter to you. So to fulfill the assignment of higher faith, there are a couple of musts to consider. We must have faith that is alive and unshakable. Two, we must realize the fullness of our salvation in order to grasp the freedom to use God's faith.
Amen. How can we truly manage to use the higher levels of faith that are within us? Well, first and foremost, hold on to grace, never forgetting that new covenant faith has no more consciousness of sin. The solid rock of higher faith is the deep understanding that we are no longer condemned. God keeps no record of our wrongs, and neither should we. At the same time, we must never allow the enemy of our souls to cause this knowledge of grace to lead us into arrogance. To be a child of the God of the universe doesn't position us to be casual about sins, iniquities, and transgressions. Rather, it positions us to be an authority over them. This knowledge of the awesome grace of God toward us should also cause in us an overwhelming compulsion to please Him in all that we do and say, and to listen intently to His guidance. It should position us so close to our Father that we can feel His heartbeat and fall into a sea of peace regardless of what's going on around us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Ephesians tells us grace is a gift. Not anything we do now or have done in the past or will do in the future can make this gift. Available to us. Sorry, I have that pause. Let me say that again. Not anything we do now or have done in the past or will do in the future can make this gift available to us. It isn't like a buy one, get one deal, but it is a gift with purchase. Jesus paid the price. We get the gift.
Amen.
In this verse in Hebrews where it says, let us have grace. Have means hold it. Have means hold it as a possession. Let us hold it. The word let tells us it's our choice. Don't let go. Know who you are. We encourage everyone to read and meditate on chapter 13 of Hebrews. When you actively engage your mind in these scriptures and allow them to become real in your life, your capacity for higher levels of faith will increase. Allowing the Word of God to become real simply means that what you read is no longer words on a page. Instead, the word you read becomes an experience in growing your relationship with God. It changes you in a lasting way.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The principles of faith never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our faith, and He is the Word. One of the principles of which we're consistently reminded is that of hearing. Here, faith comes by hearing. As a child, I was taught a little song where one of the lines was, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear." And that, I have found, is so true. When a person is listening to words of fear, they become fearful. When they continually hear about evil things happening, they anticipate evil to befall them. This can easily apply to your thoughts as well, because when the devil plants a thought in your mind, it is often followed by your own words of agreement with that thought. Rather than casting down the thought, we speak it. When we speak it, we hear it. Faith comes by hearing. If you desire faith toward God and not faith toward fear, then let faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. Another principle of faith is depending on the Lord and not ourselves. As we learn to trust God, we begin to press into Him more than leaning on our own strengths and reasoning. Some people don't like to bother God. They feel that He's far too busy helping others who really need it, so they will just do it themselves, whatever it is. This shows us two things. First, that the person who thinks this way sees God in terms of man's ability. Second, it reveals a spirit of pride and independence that inevitably will lead to rebellion and control. To answer the first error, we must realize that we serve the God of the impossible, not the possible. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, King David is a favorite example of this. When things looked their very worst, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't run and hide. He didn't give up. He didn't speculate about how he could fix things. Instead of avoiding the situation or becoming dejected or listening to his own strength and reasoning, or leaning to his own strength and reasoning, he went to God. We're talking about the time when King David went from Ziklag to war and returned to find everything gone and the city burned. Wives, children, cattle, possessions, everything had been taken by the enemy. The men who were with him wanted to stone David. "It's your fault," they cried. That's a heavy place for anyone, even a king, to be. Not only have you lost everything, but everyone else has also, and they're all blaming you.
Yeah, let's just stone him. I'm going to read that to you in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here's verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Wow. Encouraged himself in the Lord. That translates, he fastened onto, seized, the Lord. David knew he was unable to fix it, but he knew God could. As the king inquired of the Lord as to what he should do, God responded, and this is 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all." Hallelujah. This is a word for the body of Christ. This is a time of recovery. We're to pursue the enemy and take back what's been stolen from us. In order to do that, we, like David, must recognize it is God who must guide and direct us. That takes faith, the higher faith that does not compromise, faith which knows its assignment and steps into the task. Knowing and understanding the covenant gives us boldness. Knowing and accepting the crucifixion gives us hope. Knowing and moving in the resurrection gives us power. Let me say that again. That somebody wants to write that down. I am a note taker, and if I was listening to this, I would want to write that down. Okay. Knowing and understanding the covenant gives us boldness. Knowing and accepting the crucifixion gives us hope. Knowing and moving in the resurrection gives us power. Use the higher levels of faith to pursue and recover all, saints.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As for the second error, that of being prideful and independent, we must examine our own hearts and seek a willingness to submit to the Lord. Submission to the Lord, His word, His will, and His way is not a place of being abased and put down into a lower position. It's actually positioning ourselves to be raised up in power and authority. 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." James 4:7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Higher faith is living faith. Faith is alive. It is a living thing. Again, faith isn't a feeling. It's a person, the Lord Jesus the Christ. Faith is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. Fruit grows on a branch or a vine, and the Word tells us Jesus is both.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 4. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Zechariah 6, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. There are other references which speak clearly of the Lord Jesus as the branch. Also, there are references to other branches, many of which clearly imply the body of Christ. Jesus himself says, we are branches of the vine, and names himself the vine. John 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen. Hallelujah. Pardon me. Every one of these symbolic references of Christ and his disciples as the branch, the vine and its branches, and so on, of necessity must encompass living faith. Our faith is rooted in the living God within us, a product of our recreated spirit and not our reasoning. It works through love, which is a major element in the core nature of God and man in God's image. Faith is quickened, is made alive by the Word. The Word is life, and the Word is life.
Amen.
Proverbs 4. 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. That word means living or to live. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Faith is alive with the life of God. And living faith will move a dead mountain every time.
Amen.
To use living faith, we must develop an unshakable confidence in God, knowing that our faith rests in the integrity of a person, Christ Jesus, who cannot lie. Notice, cannot lie. Not simply will not or chooses not to. God cannot lie. He is purely truth, and there is no lie in him. Imagine not even being able to think of a lie to tell. never having a falsehood of any kind pass your lips. Not a little lie, a big lie, a fib, a white lie, nothing. That's our God. We can have confidence in Him. And the book of 1 John shows us that confidence in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Now, someone may be thinking, well, I didn't get what I prayed for. God didn't give me the thing I desired. Well, perhaps you missed the first part of that verse, the part that qualifies what God hears in our prayers. The Lord hears and responds to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we're asking for something outside His will and desiring something He doesn't desire for us, God doesn't hear and respond. We may be praying amiss, as Scripture says. James 4:3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Selfish, soulish prayers are not in God's will. For the verses in 1 John to be true in our lives, we must know the will of God and hold to it in steadfast faith without doubting. Wavering in our faith and away from God's will is another reason our prayers are hindered. James 1, verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Answered prayer is perhaps the greatest reason to read and know the will. Knowing the heart of God, His plan and purposes, allows us to align ourselves in the proper course for our lives, so that our prayers are answered every time. The vital part of using faith in prayer is to know God's will. Knowing the will of the Father is what Jesus had perfectly, and this knowledge is available to us perfectly when we get out of the way and allow the Lord free reign. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The knowledge of the Son of God, the thing Jesus knew that we're still discovering, is God's perfect will in every situation. When we have it, our faith is perfected in unity with Christ Jesus, and our prayers are perfect and perfectly answered. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Whew. One of the elements we can employ to position ourselves in higher faith is praise. Praise is the highest form of prayer. We should live a life of praise between the time we send our prayer in faith and the time when the manifestation comes. I'm going to insert here that period between the time you pray and the time you see the manifestation of what you prayed for. That is a crucial period. And if you are praising and thanking God through that time, it gets shorter and shorter. Remember, just because your prayer isn't answered right away doesn't mean God has denied you something. All His promises are yes and amen. But His plan, His will, and his timing are perfect. Ours is not. We often don't know the right time for a thing to come to pass. God knows. We don't. Because we get a prophetic word to do a certain thing or go a certain place does not mean we're to do it now. Take that word to God and let him bring it forth in his timing. Don't force anything, or you may birth an Ishmael and not an Isaac. Mm. Another thing, know that worry is a manifestation of lack of trust. Worry is a manifestation of lack of trust. It negates the faith of our prayers to worry about whether or not what we prayed for will happen. Worry is a form of fear. And as we've said many times, you cannot be in fear and faith at the same time. This is that state of wavering. After praying the will of God, then simply thank him for hearing your prayer and answering your petition. Also, don't tell God how you want the answer to come. He will likely have a better way to accomplish his purposes than you do. God does not need our guidance and advice. We need his. Trust and obey. That is a key to success. Touch Jesus with your faith. Touch him. Press in through the crowd. The woman with the issue of blood had a lot of flesh in her way, but she pressed through the crowd, past the flesh, and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. What she touched was the covenant promise of God. She had a picture of herself healed. If I can just touch his garment, I'll be well. We need to do what this woman did. She conceived a faith image. She established a contact point. She declared what she believed, and she acted on it. I'm going to give that again. She conceived a faith image. She established a contact point. She declared what she believed, and she acted on it. What we can believe, we will see. The image we conceive in our mind's eye is vital to faith, especially, I believe, when it comes to physical healing. This is because our hypothalamus gland, which controls many systems in our bodies through chemical balance, this gland reacts to sight. This gland cannot discern the difference between a real event, something we see on TV or in a movie, and something we see in our imaginations. It's all the same. This is one reason it's important to monitor what we subject ourselves and our children to viewing. Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Praise the Lord. The final point we want to look at in this chapter is our freedom to use God's faith. Making the paradigm shift from using our faith to using God's faith is step one. We must actually realize we have the faith of God within us and available for use.
Amen. Say that again.
We have the faith of God within us and available for use. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith is one of God's many gifts to us. Salvation is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift. All the fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, are gifts. His love is a gift, and his faith is a gift. We can choose not to open it. We can choose not to use it. Or we can choose to we can even choose to refuse it, but God does not take it back. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's his faith that is effectual, and God's faith cannot be stopped by unbelief. God's faith cannot be stopped by unbelief. Hallelujah. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your sayings and might overcome when you are judged.
Oh, amen. I just got to hang out there for just a minute. Those scriptures, as I was putting this together, Josh really hit me in a new way. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Absolutely not. God's faith cannot be stopped by unbelief. The faith of God is effectual. A person's unbelief cannot make it otherwise. When we're praying God's will in God's faith, the result is certain, no matter who thinks or says otherwise. We often hear, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But a more accurate thing to say is, God said it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. The faith of God is free and available for use by everyone who has accepted the person of Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, as Lord and Savior. Mark said, whosoever will say and believe in his heart can have what he says. Whosoever is inclusive of us all. No one is denied the faith of Christ Jesus within us. No one is denied the faith of Christ Jesus within us, although most of us have denied we have it. It is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thank you, Lord. The faith of Jesus within us is with purpose, and it is his purpose and not our own. We have this faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to live victoriously over the flesh, separating ourselves from the carnal nature of Satan, and becoming the righteousness of God. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Philippians 3:8-9. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Amen. let me start here. There is a passage from 2 Peter, which we're about to read, which enforces the truth that we have the same faith Peter and the apostles had. It also tells us this faith is a foundation on which to build other aspects of the Lord's divine nature in us. As we look at these verses, begin to develop the mind's eye image of a new you. Establish a contact point with Jesus Christ and press into his image and his kingdom by faith. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 8. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That means knowing Jesus. I think the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ means knowing what he knows.
Amen.
Did I say that? Okay, I'm
going
to have to add that one.
Okay, praise the Lord. Lord, oh Lord, make these scriptures real and true to the lives of all who read and hear them. Have us all move farther into your faith and deeper into your truth of who we are as we pray according to your will, your word, and your way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are ready to move deeper into faith, unshakable, alive, I encourage you to pray this prayer with me out loud once again. We pray out loud so that all the angels can hear us. They cannot read your mind. And be released to minister and bring our words to pass in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. The demons also need to hear you because they cannot read your mind. They need to know you don't agree with them any longer. And you're coming into your true identity. And they got to go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father God.
For the free use of your faith.
For the free use of your faith.
Through the person of Christ Jesus.
Through the person of Christ Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit within me.
And the Holy Spirit within me.
Help me make the mindset shift.
Help me make the mindset shift.
From thinking my faith is small and ineffectual.
From thinking my faith is small and ineffectual.
To fully realizing your faith within me.
To fully realizing your faith within me.
Is huge.
is huge.
It cannot be stopped by anyone's unbelief. Help me call on your faith, Lord. According to your purposes and will. And make me aware of your divine nature. Give me an eye of eternal vision, Lord. So that I can see myself as you see me. And begin to press into your image. With greater urgency and strength than ever before. Your word says it is my faith that overcomes the world, Father. And now I know that my faith is part of your Holy Spirit within me. Not something I have to muster up on my own. By your faith, Lord. I pledge to overcome the world. Dominate hell. And destroy the works of the enemy. In my own life and in the lives of others. Forgive me, Father, for wavering in faith. Forgive me for times I've denied your faith. And followed the voice of the enemy. And the spirit of the world. I ask your forgiveness. And I ask that the curse of unbelief. Be broken off my life completely. I want all doubt and unbelief out of my heart. I break agreement with that unclean spirit now.
In
the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare all unbelief must leave me now. Father, I ask that in every place. Where I harbored unbelief. Distrust. Doubt and worry. That you fill those places now. With your living, unshakable faith. Faith that is always effectual and fruitful. For your purposes. Keep me close to you, Father. So I will know your perfect will in every situation. Just as Jesus did. I ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And I declare that his blood is all-powerful. And it is effective to accomplish all I ask. Amen. Hallelujah. I just take the sword of the Spirit of God, and I sever any generational cords of iniquity, all evil soul ties, and any word curses that have been spoken over you or out of your own mouth that would hold in place unbelief, distrust, doubt, or worry. I cut through those cords. I reverse those curses. And I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I cast out every spirit and spirit guide, generational and present, of unbelief, distrust, doubt, and worry. Get up and out, loose them and let them go. Come out from every cell in their body, every emotion in their heart, every thought in their mind. Get out. I send you to the pit that burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. Woo! In the name of Jesus, I cancel cell memories of failures, faith failures. I cancel those cell memories in the name of Jesus. And I impart to you holy boldness to know we serve the God of the impossible. Holy boldness to speak boldly God's will into your lives in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If anybody has a comment or a question tonight about this chapter, you can push your star 6 keys. That will unmute your phone. I do not know how to unmute if you're on a computer, but I'm going to ask somebody that does know sooner or later.
Yeah. Hi, Vicki. Hello, Vicki.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted.
Oh,
hi.
Hi, Vicki. This is Helen.
Yes.
I have a little bit of confusion here. After last week's teaching, I went back over Isaiah 61, and I read all
uh-huh.
those things, consoling, all the things that Jesus did. And I thought, okay, he is in me, therefore, wherever I go, I am to release all of that to those who need it. And then I say, okay, that's done by faith. And I heard a lot about our faith last week, but then this week I'm hearing about God's faith. And I know it's a very simple answer, but I just don't get it. Am I using my faith? Am I using God's faith? Or
They're
am
the
I
same.
Using God's faith to release his faith?
God's faith.
They're the same. They're the same. Helen, you have the faith of God in you. When we stop trying to be faithful and simply tap into what God has already put in us, it is his faith that accomplishes.
Okay.
Did that make more sense?
Well, yeah. He's in me and I'm in him and we're all one. But when
right.
I hear...
And the
I'm
gift... Here. You know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is faith.
Right. Okay.
Love, joy, peace, patience, faith.
Yeah.
Gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. So, you know, all we're doing here in this book, or this is my goal, and hopefully it's being accomplished, is to move us from the old covenant faith of Abraham into the new covenant faith of Jesus.
Okay. Could you give me one more time the faith of Abraham?
The faith of Abraham, he is our father of faith. He is our father of faith. He had faith, and God imputed that unto him for righteousness. But in the old covenant, it was all about sin consciousness. That what could we do to get over our sins? What sacrifices could be made, you know? And by these sacrifices, we believed you know, we had faith that God was keeping us, that God was forgiving us because of our sacrifices.
Okay.
Now, the sacrifice of all time for all people in all circumstances has been made.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's already made. So that faith is no longer sin conscious faith. What can I do? What sacrifice can I make? It is now righteousness consciousness faith. It's been mm-hmm. done for me. I have it.
Let me use it.
Okay.
That makes a big difference. Yeah, I was kind of veering off into the old religion.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Praise God.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You got unmuted.
I did. It was way easier than I thought. I love the part where you said, I know because what he knows. Is that what you said?
Something to that effect, yeah.
Yeah, and you said, I have to write that one. Did I say that? I can write that down. I said, oh, that's so good.
Amen.
You know,
I'd
like to second what she said that there, because this is what I wrote down what she said. I said, this is what I wrote down what I thought she said. Having the knowledge of Jesus Christ is knowing what he knows.
Right.
And then I thought, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I think of what Jesus said about God. He said Jesus will take what God has given him and put it in us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. He already has. And that's what we're not getting, because we're still in that old covenant mentality of being sin conscious. So the book, Higher Faith, Greater Power, Deeper Peace. That's what all about.
I like what you said, because I got a greater understanding about that faith isn't just something that we reach for, but you're saying it's a gift that's put in us. And because of that, it should be easier for us to turn it loose.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I shared something with Phil, I think it was Sunday, both Phil and Charles, that happened to me during the hurricane. I was sitting in my red Lazy Boy chair in the living room. And before that, I've got a room in the back, and I was looking at these huge, big pine trees in the distance, big branches that were just waving. And so I came to the front, and I was sitting there, and the wind picked up strong, stronger than I've heard. It sounded maybe like, and I've never gone through a tornado, but I thought, I wonder if this is what a tornado sounds like. And I felt fear come on me, and then the Lord said, speak. And I just spoke out, and I said, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You're not going to take down my big tree. I've been worrying about that big tree. I thought, oh, I should probably take this tree out. It's so huge, and it's right next to the house. I said, Lord, just protect me here, and I rebuke this wind. And, you know, immediately it started calming down. The wind just went down. And I leaped.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. We have had so many miracles through it. It's just, I can't even begin to tell you all the testimonies of the miracles here. But thank you, Finn.
For me, I know there was a strong wind, because right down the road, you go down to Bayard at Lake Montgomery, and at the Presbyterian Church, there was a big tree pretty much directly behind me within just a couple of blocks that was pulled by the roots and down. And down from that, a two-story house with a big tree by the roots and down. And I thought to myself, well, now, what if I would have just let that fear linger and not said anything, not rebuked it?
Don't even go there. You did the right thing.
It was humbling for me because I felt like the Lord said, now use that on the little things in your life then. Use it on the little things and come against the enemy right away and just tell him where to go.
Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who else has something to say tonight?
Who was that talking? Hi, Vicki. Who was
that? That was Finn. I thought that laugh sounded like you, Joan.
It was so good. Anyway, I just want you to know that I sometimes feel speechless. It was so good. It's like such a blessing. Thank you, Bill and Vicki. And I just feel like I'm sitting at the Lord's table and I'm getting such a good meal and I'm enjoying it. But I would love to get a copy of this because there's a lot more that I need to think about and chew on. And I needed this. Okay. I really needed it. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for this teaching so much. And I definitely would love the book. I love you all. Thank you.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, who else? Anybody else have something to say tonight?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Kyle.
I just had a question to write that down. Having the knowledge of Christ, of knowing and understanding the covenant gives us boldness. Knowing and accepting the crucifixion gives us hope. And what was the last one?
Knowing and moving in the resurrection gives us power.
Thank you. If you could send this to me, I'll listen to it again.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll do it. You're welcome,
Word.
Kyle. Praise the Lord. Anybody else before Phil blesses us into this week, seals this word? I love what the Lord is doing with this faith book. And it's going to continue. So don't miss. Just don't miss it. You know, then finally when the book gets published, whenever that's going to be, you will already have heard this, and you can take the book and you can review and you can write in it and you can highlight what you need to refer back to. And I love to have the printed page. It's so good. But anyway, so hearing no other comments, I'm going to turn this closing of the meeting over to Pastor Phil.
Well, I was coming and I was muted. Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We didn't use your mute.
Well, I know you didn't. I just don't know what was wrong with me. But anyway, I was muted. It was wonderful as always. And I'm looking forward to hearing it again as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good information there. Lots of instruction.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for being with us, Claudia. You are a blessing. Hallelujah.
Oh, goodness. Thank you. So are you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Claudia. Thank you, Lord, for all the people on the line. Thank you, Lord, that you love these people. We love these people. We are all in unity and oneness in your word, in you, Father, and we are thankful for that opportunity in our lives. to grow in you, to be more like you, to operate in kingdom authority, in kingdom living. What a blessing. We are so thankful, Lord. We worship you this evening. Thank you for your word. I ask that you seal it in our hearts, Lord, that it is alive and active and moves through us in mighty ways, Father. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. You are good. You are glorious. We give you honor this evening. And Father God, and with your permission, my Father, I will bless your people as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the children of Israel, your chosen people. I will bless your people tonight with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 24 to 26. We close our meetings with this. Send us out with a blessing. That God bless you as you receive. I do this in Hebrew and in English. All glory to God. Yivarechach Adonai Ve'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai Pono Ba'ilecha Yifunecha Yisa Adonai Pono Ba'ilecha Ve'yisem Lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add to this blessing in Yeshua in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. So for peace, I just loose your peace, Father, in your people that passes all understanding this evening. Thank you for your presence in our lives. It empowers us, strengthens our walk. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all on the line. I ask you to encamp your angels around your people this week. Give them a God-filled, glorious week that glorifies you and helps them move forward in their lives with productivity and strength and kingdom authority. I ask these things in the mighty, precious name of Yeshua, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We give him honor and glory this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. This message will be repeated as the Holy Spirit brings it on Friday. And we will be at the King's Table in the morning at 7:15. Same numbers. God bless you all. We love you.
Good night. I'm going to go to sleep with the full spirit. Amen. Love you all.
Love you.
Love you.
Good night. See you in the morning.
Bye. I'll see you in the morning at the King's Table.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you, dear.